All right. Thank you, Monica. Oh, and one more person just arrived. So it is Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, and we are going to start this session with 20 minutes of meditation. I will give a little bit of guidance and then let you have some quiet time just to sit. And just beginning by settling back, bringing awareness into the body. You can close your eyes or just lower your gaze. Gives you time away from your screen. Even as you utilize the benefits of the technology, you don't have to be blinded by it. Just letting your body settle, letting awareness settle in the body. Feeling the breath moving in the body. Bringing an attitude of ease. Non-striving. You can work with the breath in different ways. One is to locate a particular sensation of breath, a point, the tip of the nose or the movement of the belly. You can also work with the breath more as a more general rhythmic flow. Well, as we're beginning a period of meditation, while the mind might still be busy, it can help to ease into this focus. Just feeling the whole body and the whole breath. And then gradually moving towards a more precise attention. If we try to force the attention to be concentrated can actually create a kind of tension in the mind that's not conducive to calm or to mindfulness itself. So we try to come to our practice with some patience. Willing to just sit with whatever thoughts and feelings and energies are here right now. With this attitude of acceptance, openness. Acceptance itself implies that something unpleasant or not particularly enjoyable is happening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to accept it. So, our practice encourages us to learn to be with the unpleasant or the difficult. Not permanently or for the whole, even the whole period of meditation, but just noticing and seeing that at times this is part of the experience of mindfulness. We breathe with whatever is arising. The breath itself, mindfulness, concentration have a beneficial impact on our mental state, our experience. We trust in this process, bringing patience and acceptance, a subtle transformation can begin. Actually locked the meeting, Monica, after we got to a certain point. Last was it last week? We got a little invasion from some irritant beings. So I don't know what locking it means, but I just I wanted to make sure that okay, I'm going to unlock it now just in case there's somebody who wants to get in. Anyway, good morning. I thought that maybe some reflections on my this particular milestone of recovery, 40 years sober, might be an appropriate topic. I know I'm not the only person here who has multiple decades. I mean, first of all, staying sober for a long time doesn't mean I necessarily know anything about it. Really. I'm not sure what, I'm not sure what it proves. Certainly d doesn't mean that I know more about getting sober. And that's one of the things that, I get invited at times. Recently, I was invited to speak to a very prestigious group, and but they wanted me to like help these therapists and researchers like figure out how to get people sober. And I'm like, I wish I knew. it's kind of mysterious, and I don't take that to mean that it's magical. I believe everything is comes about through cause and effect, but the causal relationship to getting sober is complex, as is all causality. Multiple. There's someone who's arriving late. all events are, the confluence of a wide variety of previous events, internal and external. Anyway, I said I was going to talk about my this time of this milestone, and I guess what it makes me think about is like the different stages of recovery. Because 40 years sober doesn't feel like anything particularly distinct, whereas 10 years sober was a huge marker for me, and that first decade of sobriety, as I'm sure with many of you who have that much time, the vast changes in my life. In my 10th year, I got a master's degree. And when I got 10 years before, I had been, all I had was a GED. So during those 10 years of sobriety, I got a BA and an MFA. And of course, that's not all that happened, but that was sort of the external markers, and it turned out to be a crisis moment in my life too, because I had been hoping to publish a book while I was right in grad school. I was writing fiction, and I came out of grad school with no job, and going, oh, what have I done, which was, fortunately I had the skills that got me through those 10 years were the skill of just showing up and doing the so-called next right thing, like, which it was at that time, look for a job, right? And I wound up really doing something very humbling. I started doing data entry for this PG&E project as a temp. And I mean, I don't know if this, The story to me embodies like what my recovery is about, and yet it's very sort of, it's not dramatic, and it doesn't have anything to do with drinking or not drinking. But I went into this big office in it's like Emeryville or somewhere, and where they had just brought in like 50 temps to do data entry on this project that PG&E was doing to replace wall heaters, that they defective wall heaters that they had given people. It's like a classic PG&E kerfuffle or blunder. Anyway, within the first couple hours, I was just doing data entry, and I'm looking at the sheets that I'm supposed to be, and I'm like, oh, this is wrong. There's a mistake here. And I was a good reader, right? And so I'd call over the manager, oh, look, this, I don't think this is right. By the end of the day, it was like, oh, this guy is like really good at this. Like, he's not just putting in, as they say, garbage in, garbage out. I was not putting in garbage when I saw within like a week. Half the people had left. People just don't like doing those jobs, right? It's boring. And within a few weeks, I was like promoted. So, and I was, and I was there for a year, and I was like the last, I'm probably the last of the people that was hired as a temp. And by then, I was like writing a user manual for the database that they had designed. And my great triumph was one day getting this sheet, and it had an address on it that looked like it was just gobbledygook. Like it looked like somebody, a monkey just hit the keyboard. And I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, wait. And I shifted everything over one letter on the keyboard and realized, oh, it said Elm Street. But it was like the person had like been typing with their hand on the wrong. And that was like, okay, that boom, mic drop for the data entry, maestro. Anyway, that was like rebuilding my life at 10 years sober, and one of the things that we learn, and I continue to even, it's not about learning, but that we have to take on is humility, right? And like, I have a master's degree in creative writing now, and now I'm doing this like, temp job. And and out of that, I eventually was able to parlay those skills into doing technical writing, and that, provided me a job for another decade, during which then my second decade, I became a meditation teacher, got married, became a father, and then published a book. So, and right then, 2005, because I got sober in 1985, a year after One Breath at a Time came out, I was struggling really badly with depression. And I wound up going on antidepressants mainly because my wife was like, I can't take this. You've got to get on antidepressants. And again, the humility is like, wait, I'm 20 years sober. I'm a Dharma teacher. Come on. Like, I've published, I've got all this wisdom. I published this book about Buddhism and the 12 steps, but I'm fucking depressed. I can't. Oh, shit. That's what you got to do, what you got to do, right? And that helped. I didn't like it particularly, and after a couple of years, I was able to stop taking antidepressants and was okay. But I feel like in terms of the drama of my recovery, those first 20 years were the big drama. After the first 20, it's nothing really. So don't worry about it. And I mean, it does, it sounds ridiculous. When people, look at recovery, I don't know. Just going back to the beginning and how that looks, right? To be like newly sober and see people with a lot of time. And I mean, as with everything, we have these, we imagine things to be, we imagine that the future or some idealized version of what we think our life should be, that essentially there's a sense that we're going to arrive somewhere. And I think that's the real delusion that we carry in life, that there is some destination point. And it like you turn 50 and you think, wow, okay, I'm 50 now, okay, that's all right, and then the next day you're like, no, I'm 50 in a day, like this isn't going to stop, and it's not gonna, there isn't some arriving. And so, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years sober, it's not arriving. I mean, supposedly, I don't even remember what day I got sober, but like say it's June 7th, it might have been June 8th, there's still debate. But that was a couple days ago, that's over. There's no arriving at 40 years. There's this moment when you cross, oh, the tink click. Okay, now it's the next day. Now it's, so, for me, it's not about, oh, arriving somewhere and having, certainly not having it all figured out. Our life solved. But just being engaged as best I can with this moment and this moment. I guess it's, there's a sense, I think we're all, trying to solve life to really make the broadest, sort of approach to thinking about this, that we're all trying to solve life, let's say, and in order to do that, we are trying to accumulate skills, solution skills, solving skills. I don't know what that the adjective is there. Anyway, and so, we try to get good at stuff. But in a way, we're always solving, our skills are really only adapted to the last thing that happened. I mean, we're hoping that if life keeps being the way it was in the past, then I'll be fine because I have the skills to manage things that happened before. Unfortunately, things keep changing and you keep running into different challenges. And you're like, wait, I don't have the tool. I'm missing something from my toolbox. Like, I need an extra wedge here. Like, this is a golfer's reference there. And, so this is where humility comes in, realizing like, I don't have all the answers. I've been sober for 40 years. I've been meditating for 45 years. I've written books. I look really good on my resume is excellent, And today might be really difficult, I don't know. I'm not sure. How am I going to solve this, right? And part of that, is have a routine, and that's great, But then you get sick, or someone else gets sick, or a crazy man takes over your country, or and you're like, now what do I do? I don't have the tool in here for this. What I'm going to need to develop a new tool. Well, I guess if there are any tools, and that's where the Dharma comes in. I had this thought the other day. I was like, should I post this on Facebook? You know, well, like you have like a good thought. Oh, this will look good on Facebook. Which was, I'm grateful that there are still monastics who are living the same way the Buddha lived 2,600 years ago. Something about that gives me a sense of safety and sanity and continuity, and that no matter how screwed up everything is, everything's okay on some other level. Now, I was reading Ajahn Amaro talking about the way when he first encountered the Thai forest tradition and the way they live, and just, yeah. So what I think, what I look to there is these fundamental principles of the Dharma. So bringing it back to this, that there are tools. I do have the tools, and they're not new. You know, they're the same tools. I mean, you know, acceptance is the answer to my problems today. In the big book, you know, one of the oldest things, one of the first things you hear when you go to AA, right? And mindfulness and loving kindness and compassion and forgiveness and breathing, you know, these like really simple ideas. But they're, because I guess we'll flip this a little bit. Yes, every moment is new and every moment is different. But it's also just the same, in, you know, wearing a different costume, you know, in a different format. And the brilliance of the Dharma, that's why the timelessness of the monastics is so important to me, that it's a reminder that the same truth has persisted for these thousands of years and will continue to persist. And so I have to keep coming back to those things, even as chaos erupts and I feel like, oh, I have to solve this, and there must be, how am I going to deal with this? It's like, no, it's the same. It's breathe, don't panic. Be aware, be present with your feelings, allow, remember impermanence. There are a lot of different things to remember, but you know, it's all there. And if we just, we have to stay alert and in tune and keep remembering what's true. You know, the word sati that's translated as mindfulness means, has its roots in the words memory or to remember. And I think, you know, that's reminds me of the one of those AA lines. The ism of alcoholism is incredibly short memory, you know, and it's that same thing that we lose. You know, we lose our contact, our conscious contact, if you will. We lose our presence. We forget, like, oh, just the Dharma. Just remember that what is true. Clinging is causing suffering. Letting go brings freedom. So not to, you know, overcomplicate things. I think, I mean, I'm talking to myself as usual. You know, I did a lot of teaching in May, and when I teach a lot, I feel really kind of sharp. And now my teaching has slowed down, and I start to kind of drift because I, you know, which is, I probably shouldn't depend on teaching as my own program and practice, but anyway, so it's a reminder that I have to do the the work myself. But yeah, so at 40 years sober, it's obviously the oldest of cliches is that it's one day at a time. But the point is that, at least for me today, is that I have to deal with today. Those 40 years don't solve today. And yet, yeah, there's been some things learned and some habits developed and just bringing this attitude of awareness and kindness, Okay, then. Thank you for listening. Like the way I ended that with the incomplete sentence. Right. I do want to mention before we go on that tonight I will be in person in Berkeley for anybody in the Bay Area, the Berkeley Buddhist Monastery at 7:30. And this Friday night I will be online for Spirit Rock. And it'd be great if people would come to that because it's really been like quieting down. And, I want that to stay alive. So here is the link for Friday night. Gosh, make it longer, why don't you? If you want to register for that. And I wanted to share one other thing while I'm at it. Think I mentioned this, but this is a link to a video, a documentary about Bill Wilson and how he discovered and learned transcendental meditation when he was just a year or two before he died. So it's called Conscious Contact. Got slipped in there in the chat. And I think you can watch that for free on that website. It's interesting because Jay Stinnett, who's a guy I met some years ago, he works for a retreat center in Sedona. He's kind of a AA historian. He found out that Bill Wilson learned TM, and then he found the person who taught Bill Wilson to practice TM, who at the time was like 19 years old. So he's like, my age now. And so he gets interviewed. So that's the most interesting part of that video. But so check that out. Okay. So people have virtual hands up. Paolo, you want to start us off here?
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kevin. Just want to say real quick, I was 3 weeks into my latest stint at a rehab, and I was reading One Breath at a Time, which I had like half finished beforehand. But anyway, yeah, I was like 3 weeks into it when I recognized that you and I share sobriety day. Of course, I only
Oh.
have 3 years. You have 40. I have three, but Saturday, the day after D-Day. So
Nice, yeah.
just want to say thank
Oh, congratulations on getting three. That's you never get to 40 if you don't get to three,
still
so
momentous.
thanks. I will tell one more little story about my sobriety date, which is that I wasn't paying attention to the date that I got sober. I didn't go to AA the first day I got sober. I just stopped drinking, and that's another story. It was a couple weeks later that I went to a meeting, and I didn't raise my hand. I didn't like get a sponsor. I just like was like, okay, I'll go to AA because like, I don't want to drink, and like, okay, that's what you're supposed to do, but don't let me. I don't want to be a part of this, whatever this is. It took me a little while. But it was a couple months later that a friend of mine who I had known before I got sober said, "What day did you get sober?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And they're like, "You should remember, try to figure it out because that becomes important." So I tracked back, and because I knew it was the last day I played at this particular gig, that was my last drink. So, but I'm not sure if that was June 7th or June 8th. That's why I vacillate, and I'm not sure that it matters a whole lot, but anyway, that's the long and the short of it. Vicky, hello,
Oh dear. Oh, congratulations. It's
yeah,
like,
thanks.
yeah, it's really, it's, I'm glad I'm here to hear it. Yeah. And yeah, Conscious Contact was wonderful. I just watched it
Oh,
with
good.
Walter actually. And yeah, it's cool. And then, yeah, practice. It's just being encouraged, having a teacher, practicing. You know, I think it makes a difference, and I'm grateful. So, yeah, congratulations. Yeah, love you mu a lot.
Thank you. Aaron, hello. You're still muted there. Darn.
Darn. I am interested in your 10 years and then feeling like, kind of what's the deal? For me, I've been sober for 1 year, and on my first anniversary, February 5th, I looked back. It wasn't exactly that day, but I was looking back as I approached my anniversary going, wow, you have changed. Look at this. You're being kind. I spent 15 minutes helping an old lady find cranberry juice, and then it wasn't the right kind. I would never do stuff like that. And just, I don't get that the biggest thing is, in that first year, I noticed I'm not reactionary anymore. I know I'm I was introduced at a big lecture hall as a spitfire, whatever that is. So I know I'm loud, and but I also stopped telling everyone my occupation. They'd say, "What do you do?" I say, "Well, I meditate in my swimming pool." Because if I say I'm a lawyer, they slap a mask on me.
Right.
That's what it feels like. And I don't want that. I've switched cars. Now I drive a Subaru. But anyway, I just the first year at And then I found you and this and Buddhism in general, and I feel like a little kid, a baby. I feel like a baby learning something all the time. So thank you for being here, showing up on Tuesdays, even when you got the sniffles or whatever. I really look forward to it, Kevin. And on Friday, I'll be there.
Oh, good. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah, feeling like a baby, I really relate to that because I've been reading this series of murder mysteries, which is often my entertainment, my reading entertainment. And they're about this French detective. Well, he's a French chief police, Bruno, chief of police. And he's like a gourmet, and he's like cooks. He makes these fantastic meals. And there's always like four different wines that they have with the meal. And I'm always like, it seems like very adult. It's like that very French sophisticated thing. But at the same time, like, First of all, I never really liked wine. I don't understand wine, which is really a failing. But then it's like, I can't do that. I don't, I guess I'm just not, old enough. Sort of, that's what I mean, it like feels like not really a grown up who can be sophisticated like that, Anyway, thank you. John, hello.
Hey, Kevin. Congratulations on 40 years. That's great.
Thanks.
Glad to hear it. Is that all continuous, by the way?
You mean have I relapsed during that time? Yeah, yes, that's how I
just kidding.
calculate it. Yeah, I haven't had a drink. I mean, they gave me various drugs when I've had surgeries, so
Sure.
and I've taken antidepressants. Some people think that's a crime.
No, not at all.
But
Okay.
nothing intentionally to alter my consciousness. Thank you.
So I wanted to just point say that your comments about not knowing it makes such perfect sense, and I needed that reminder today because of the very point you made about, the country being taken over by a madman
Yeah.
and the desire on my part to try and figure out a way to make sense of it or
Yeah.
to fix it or something.
Yeah.
And I keep coming up with zero, which is the answer, right?
Right.
I can't fix it. I mean, I can do my small parts wherever I can, but I
Yeah.
cannot, for the life of me, I can't. I just can't do it. So I appreciate the reminder that I am literally powerless over that particular piece of our existence right now.
Yeah. It's funny, you just think about power and, well, why doesn't somebody do something about this? Kind of, you're like, wait, oh no, wait, that's the person who like has the most power. Yeah, so, but it is interesting to see that, oh, we have to have this shift in the way we think about power. And I think that's what's happening right now, that we're realizing that, oh, our only power is that if we as an individual join this mass, and that's humbling to think I have very little power, but I have a little. So I need to use that little bit, in that way. And it's like, if I don't go to this like thing, the No Kings, I'm like, nobody will notice. It won't be any smaller. But it's like, I think the whole thing is like to just give up, like the needing to be important and just being, as we say in AA, a worker among workers, a protester among protesters, and nothing more than that. It's hard. Yeah. Flo, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just went, well, first, congratulations on
Thank
40
you.
years. Your recovery has influenced, I'll speak for myself, my recovery. And I thank you for that, for sharing, for being so open and sharing, and for writing that book many years ago. And I'm glad you touched on 10 years because this is my 10th year. So next year I'll
Oh,
celebrate. Yeah.
very good.
And humility has been a topic lately a lot with my sponsor and my aging body. I'm 46, so, but my yoga practice is a huge part of my recovery and it's changing and a lot's changing as far as aging and parents and things like that. And so I even had a conversation today with my yoga teacher about always remain teachable and it's just, it was nice to hear that as well from you today about humility and the 10-year mark because I'm like, okay, that hits home. So I just wanted to share that.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Flo. Well, oof, so I appreciate, you guys keep showing up here and keep doing this together, and Yeah, I feel I feel a responsibility, which is a good thing to have a responsibility, to be of service here. And and this morning I was a little bit like, oh, I'm not in a very good place with my practice, like my sittings, and I haven't been doing enough Dharma study. Meanwhile, I'm writing a book, right? It's called, so far, it's called Let It Go. And, I'm working on that every day, so I should have some Dharma in my mind. Anyway, in my mind, I was like, oh, what am I going to talk about? And then I was like, oh, wait, I just had the 40 years. I can talk about that. Oh, God, I mean, seems like it's, I guess what I'm saying is like sometimes it's really perfectly obvious what I should talk about, but somehow I make it more complicated. I don't know if anybody here ever makes anything more complicated than it needs to be, but yeah, so I'm gonna continue here being here on Tuesdays. In July, I'm going to be in a different country in a different time zone, but the timing should work out for me to do this on t I'll be it'll be Tuesday evenings in Stockholm. But it looks like maybe the last Tuesday of July I might be traveling that day. It's possible that I will miss that one. Never know, but I will let you know as the time approaches. But you should be seeing me every week, unless the end of life arrives sooner than I was expecting. So far, it's the body is holding up well enough. When that's another thing about getting 40 years sober, you're like, 40 years, okay, like what's the next one? Like 50. I don't know. Not sure about that. Anyway, I really appreciate people showing up for this group each week. It's kind of remarkable to me that everybody kind of wants to just keep showing up and being together, and it's really important for me. It's becoming like really like a mainstay of my week, of my life. So thank you.
Right
That's
now,
my,
we really need each other.
yeah.
Very important. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, you guys. I'll be at the Oakland and O'Kings rally on Saturday if anybody's looking for me. So,
Keep up the good work.
peace.
Thanks.
Love you
Thanks, Kevin.
guys.
Congratulations.
Much
Thank
love.
you. Love you
Come on,
too.
everybody. Have a good day.
Bye. Thank you. Congratulations, Kevin.
Thanks. Thank
Peace
you.
out.
Thanks, Kevin.
Congratulations,
Okay, Mike.
Kevin.
All right. All right. I'm going to do the old countdown. 3, 2, 1. Bye-bye.